Listening Library presents Giddy Barber Explodes in 11 by Dina Havranek, read for you by Tina Wollstonecroft. To Sean, for you I would slay dragons. 0. At the age of 15, Giddy Barber knows two things. She's going to become a mechanical engineer, and she can't remember the last time she smiled. Normally, she wouldn't think about smiling, but her mother has tasked her with going through old videos, birthdays, anniversaries, vacations. Giddy's mom wants to make a virtual scrapbook. It's 5:14 in the morning. Giddy is awake and dressed, lying atop her covers. She swipes her thumb, and the video plays again. Jack's 8, Giddy 5. Jack sets up red and green dominoes on the floor of the room they once shared, and small Giddy uses the legs of a caped, yellow-booted action figure to knock the dominoes down every time Jax makes a neat row of 5. Giddy yells, "Super do!" The dominoes fall. Jax says,
"You never let me finish,"
he complains to the camera.
"She won't let me do this."
He sets up 5 more dominoes. Giddy knocks them down.
"Super do!"
She laughs with a force that sets her off balance, her chubby form teetering to hit her head on the mattress behind her. The camera jiggles. The person behind it sets it down, uttering her own small chuckle. Giddy replays this video 4 times, frowning. Then she gets out of bed and quietly slips into the hall, changing the thermostat from its sub-zero nighttime setting to a more appropriate 72 degrees, and then softly opens the door to the room shared by 7-year-old Tad and 5-year-old Tiggs. Both are hunkered down in their respective twin beds, sleeping or pretending to. Giddy kneels, has to press her belly to the floor to squeeze her arm and shoulder under the bed where the yellow-booted action figure lies, covered in dust bunnies. Like most of her toys, it wasn't hers to start out with. It was Jax's before it was handed down to her, and then, without Giddy's input, given to Dougal, then later to Tad, meaning it's destined eventually for Tiggs's toy box, probably soon, because Tad's interest in the figure has clearly waned. Giddy first noticed it weeks ago while walking Tad and Tiggs through the process of cleaning the floor of their room. Giddy sits cross-legged to the tune of Tad's soft breathing. The figure's head has been chewed on since her ownership. One leg flaps, busted at the knee's articulation. The cape wants to pop up like a vampire collar. But even new, it would be unremarkable. Not even a name brand, just a knockoff, like most of Giddy's old toys. She can't remember the name it had when it belonged to Jax, but Giddy had wanted to call it Superman. Except she changed the name when Jax pointed out Superman's cape is red. Giddy thinks she renamed the toy Super Dude, but it came out Super Do. So, Super Do. Jax had told her mother it's like poo, only with a D, and way more super. Giddy goes back to lie on her bed and examines Super Do, unable to remember why the toy gave her so much joy. She's still examining it when her 5:30 alarm goes off. Giddy slips Superdew into a front jeans pocket, leaps out of bed, unscrews a bottle from her nightstand, and pops a morning antacid. She bangs on Dougal's room first, hitting the door with increasingly louder knocks until he screams at her from within. Then it's back to Tad and Tiggs's room. Tiggs sits up obligingly at Giddy's first shake, then throws her arms around Giddy's neck. Giddy groans. She hugs her back and stands, Tiggs hanging on her until she forcibly sets her down. Giddy grabs a brush, works out a few tangles before binding the left half of Tiggs's short brown hair into a tiny topknot. She kicks the mattress behind her. "Get up, Tad!" Tad, still wrapped in blankets, doesn't move. A familiar burn begins in the pit of Giddy's stomach. It's just a small one, a hot pinprick. And she can imagine the antacid jostling around in her digestive juices. So Giddy kicks the bed again, harder. She makes another top knot on the right side of Tiggs's head and says, "I'm serious, Tad," as Tiggs raises her fingers to touch the top knots with reverence, awestruck by Giddy's abilities. Still not a sound from Tad. Giddy drops the brush and yanks the bed up so hard Tad hits the wall. Tiggs jumps up and down, laughing. Tad yawns.
"Well, I was getting up,"
he says slowly, throwing one arm out from under the blanket.
"But now I have to remake my bed, and it's going to take me so much longer."
He reads Giddy's face for signs of responsive rage. Giddy doesn't give it to him. "Breakfast is in 10. Tiggs is already halfway into the blue jumper that Giddy set out for her the night before. Giddy kicks Tiggs's sneakers out from under the bed and heads down the stairs, where their golden retriever, Bodhi, crashes into her and seesaws back and forth. Out into the backyard goes Bodhi, and into the kitchen goes Giddy, where she sets the coffee on, splits apples, and fills a 4-slice toaster with frozen waffles. Back up the stairs to bang with both fists on Dougal's door. Dougal, age 14, flings the door open.
"Christ, Giddy!"
As his booted feet thunder downstairs, Tiggs bursts out of her room shouting,
"Second waffle, second waffle!"
and shoves past Giddy. Tad sidles out behind Tiggs, then stops to lean in the doorframe, folding his arms with exaggerated slowness. For a moment, he and Giddy stare, squared off against each other, neither moving. Downstairs, Giddy can hear Dougal and Tiggs in the kitchen. She says, "There were 5 waffles left in the box. 4 are toasting." Tad yawns. "You're not going to get 2 now. At most, you'll get 1. And you'd better hope Dougal doesn't take the last waffle out of the box and toast it, so he gets a 3rd waffle." Tad doesn't move. One corner of his mouth twists up. Giddy rips her eyes away and motors down the stairs to where the 4 waffles in the toaster have vanished. Tiggs has 2, and she's made space between a stack of potholders and some junk mail to eat at the barber's woefully undersized kitchen island. Dougal has the other 2 waffles in one hand, and he's shoving them into his mouth as he moves about the tiny area. Tiggs squeezes out loops of syrup as Giddy scoots around her siblings, draws her elbows in, sits on a stool, and opens the waffle box again. There are actually 2 frozen waffles at the back of the box. Giddy blinks, surprised. She looks to the stairs to see if Tad is watching. Then she slips 1 waffle into the trash while popping the other into the toaster. Giddy puts a hand to her belly. Her stomach burns. The fridge door smacks the back of Giddy's head as Dougal opens it.
"Could you not?"
she yells at him.
"Could you scoot up?"
he snaps back, speaking around mouthfuls. He grabs some juice and uses it to swallow the last of the waffles, before sucking in his chest to squeeze out of the kitchen. He goes to the door and peels winter coats back on a rack to get his backpack. Giddy is eating instant brown rice with egg whites. She chews thoughtfully, and her stomach shrugs off the meal, its low, simmering line of acid receding in its pit. A thump from the stairs draws her attention. Giddy locks eyes with Tad as he takes 1 stomping step down, then the 2nd foot joins the 1st on the same step, then 1 more loud step down.
"Coffee! Coffee!"
Giddy flinches as Tiggs shoves her cup forward. Giddy pours her a 1/4 cup and watches, elbow propped on the table, chin in her hand, as Tiggs pours about 6 tablespoons worth of sugar into the cup before stirring it with a fury that jettisons little droplets over the rim. Out of nostalgia, Giddy pours herself a small amount of coffee, holds it to her nose, reveling in the smell of chemically induced power. She thinks, Maybe with a little half and half?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?